We are on shir number two of Hilchos Bishul, B'Shabbos specifically, what you can do Shabbos morning in order to get hot food or eat hot food. In our first year, we discussed the interesting hot plate. We started backwards because we said that that probably will be our best form. But today we want to discuss the warming drawer, the old popular warming drawer, which I think has become a norm in some homes, and we'll see if those homes are ones you shouldn't eat at. We want to discuss. So first of all, what is the warming drawer? So I know that, Yosef, you probably have some pictures of it you could show everybody. But here's a little ditty picture. There are two types of warming drawers, and it's very important, in my humble opinion, what they are. I can make a photocopy of these pages for your review if you would like at some point. But for a second, you can pass it around if you want. There are two types of warming drawers. There's one warming drawer that is attached to the oven itself, and that is a separate unit that's a drawer underneath where the oven is, and you put food in it, and you set the setting before Shabbos, in this case, and it keeps it warm. It doesn't cook anything, it keeps it warm. The second type of warming drawer is actually totally separate. It actually looks, in some cases, like a drawer. Instead of there being silverware inside, there is food for Shabbos. We are, of course, talking now about food that is put in from the morning, not from Erev Shabbos itself, which obviously is less problematic. Here in the beautiful camp, Nisoro, when they used to let me in the kitchen, apparently, for the third time, they passed another rule that I would hard seeing Yango in the kitchen while I was away yesterday. That rule was already broken to taste the delicious Humantashen for Purim tomorrow. Maybe that was a... Was that a... Should I have not... Oh, God, should I have not... Right, there's no... there's no Tashman tomorrow. It's Purim de Guilford. there's a Purim de Frankfurt. So this is Purim de Guilford. So, in any case, there on Erev Shabbos, when I was making sure that the chulent tasted to everybody's ability, because Torah Me'al is Chaim Zochel, the Sfarim tells us that you're supposed to taste the food. So I've elected myself tasting the food for Shabbos. So I was looking at the different ways that they heat food up here. And Baruch Hashem, which you probably recognize, is a great form, is that they put the food in from before Shabbos. And they close it. And it's in this warming thing. And that warming thing could actually stay on most of Shabbos itself. There are certain things, obviously, that can't go in for spoil reasons or for... And that's perfect. Here we're talking about Shabbos day. You want to take something out of the refrigerator. So let's just remind ourselves of the most important thing. There are two reasons why an item cannot be reheated on Shabbos. When we talk about the word item, I want to remind everybody we're talking about a dover yavish. Yavish is something that is completely cooked already and is dry. Okay, lach is something that is liquidy. The obviously typical example of lach would be a soup or something along those lines. I believe the last time we gave shir, we discussed what exactly is lach considered today. There are some that are extremely makel, but they are few and far between. I quoted a shita that, if I'm not mistaken, was quoted in Rabbi Jachter's Kol Torah publication, now called Gray Matter, I guess. But in the Kol Torah publication, he said that Rabbi Adler heard from Rav Soloveitchik, anything that is eaten with a fork, even if there's liquid, then it is not considered to be liquid. So I was intellectually honest with you and said that this is not something that is oft quoted by other Talmidim of his, as well as my own Rebbe, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, who I don't believe felt this way. What is true is, sometimes you have a little bit of gel on the chicken, or the chicken itself will produce water. That's not a problem in itself. The two problems that we have, that we discussed, is Nirakim Evashel, and Guf of the Ketuma. Nirakim Evashel is the Isser of it looking like it's cooking, which in our case, if it in fact is a drawer, okay, that is attached to the oven, clearly the passerby will think that you're cooking. It's in a different... It's very hard to distinguish the two. And therefore, it could be problematic. That is why on Shabbos, we do not allow you to warm something up Shabbos day and put it in the oven. There's a common misconception, which is a very, very important misconception, which I've actually spoken to the Star K about. The Star K gives a hashkacha on what's called the Shabbos oven. Shabbos oven is produced by a real company, and they made a Shabbos mode because they heard that Jews will buy more ovens if they do that. And the Sabbath mode, basically what it does is that it keeps the oven to one temperature. The general way ovens work for safety reasons is that when you open the oven will automatically shut off. Or when you open the oven, by physics, it will decrease its temperature at a rapid pace. So therefore, or really what should happen actually, is it should increase the temperature at a rapid pace, because when you open it, obviously that 350 degrees just left. So it needs to. So you're actually doing a pu'ula that would cause it to work. So what the geniuses invented in the Sabbath mode is basically just a keep warm type of method, where no matter what happens, this oven will stay on 150 degrees. So the logic would seem that you can put stuff into this oven on Shabbos because it doesn't change its temperature. That is not why it was invented, and in fact, if you look at the manual that the Star K put out, this Sabbath oven, Sabbath mode, was done for the following reason. Friday night, you go to shul, the husbands go to shul, and the wives put in the delicious food, and unfortunately, the rav of the shul is doirish between men chamayruv, and he's doirish, and he's doirish, and he's doirish, and now the food is cold. Why? Because right before Shabbos, the wife turned the oven off. She put the food in the oven, but she shut it off because you don't want it on all Shabbos. Now she comes home, the soup is cold, and the chicken's cold, and the potato cookle's cold, and obviously the marriage is now cold. Because, you know, so now how do you get around this? So the Sabbath mode was created. It creates a consistent temperature of 150 degrees, and on Friday night, once the food is already been placed in before Ben HaShemashos, you can of course keep it in, and when you open it, you will not cause it to shut off. Perfect, great, wonderful. That's what the Sabbath mode is. Many people, though, think that this Sabbath mode is also for use for Shabbos day. It is not. So in my email to the Star K, I explained to them that this is the way Orthodox people are doing it. They wrote back, surprisingly, first in a form letter, "Thank you for your response." And they just like form a letter of what the Sabbath said, that please answer my actual thing. And then they sent me, "It's not our fault that people are stupid, they should read the manual." So I think that is intellectually dishonest as well, because they should know what Dosh Bei Rabim, go out and see what people are doing. People are violating the thing that they invented. So I think there needs to be better education on that. But that's not what we're discussing today.
Why is the problem to put it on in the day as opposed to...
Because if you're putting it on in the day, thank you for asking the question, which I forgot to end off my sentence, you're right, because that is typical Nerukim Mevasha. Again, if a person's using an oven as an oven, so there's another problem, which is a Sabbath problem, okay, which doesn't really involve Bishul. The problem is that it's like the big Shiloh discussed in the Poskim about a refrigerator, right? Can you open a refrigerator or not? Not for our discussion now. Obviously, many Poskim are today. I'm not talking about if lights go on. I'm talking about Stam. The same idea, when you open a refrigerator, it's potentially problematic as well, because by definition, the motor will go on once it's open for a certain amount of time. And in fact, I could be mistaken about this, but I'm normally, you know, can remember at least what I did today. I was just reading a tshuva in the Avnei Derech on this topic itself. And the poskim adan this, this is not today's discussion, but just to wet your palate, we know that there's a general klal of psik reisha. The nichle, the Mishnah Brura discusses in Reish Ayin Zayin based on the Shulchan Aruch. So the modern day poskim generally have allowed it, and Rav Moshe has a famous tshuva in Or HaChaim Chelek Beis Siman Samaches on this as well. And all the poskim are dan Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa. In any case, there are those that advise, which is surprising, that our prince would write this, that you should open it, every time you open it, it should be Derech Shinoi. Not the normal way you would open it. And he quotes based on some poskim, the Tshuva Zohanagas, Mishnah Halachas, the Be'er Moshe, says this. But then he says, how can you go ahead and say that? Nowadays, there are newer types of refrigerators. Obviously, if there was some sort of, you have to know what's going on. And he says that it's very, very difficult because there are so many different buttons and things going on. So you just have to be careful. la halacha. But many of the poskim allowed it. That's what the bottom line is. Even though he quotes a shita, which I was surprised with, I just don't think that's the normative shita about opening it with a shina. So says, so it's a nirukim mevashel issue. Forget about the malacha problem. Nirukim mevashel is, what does it look like to you? It looks like I'm opening a, I'm using an oven on Shabbos. But when the food's in from Friday night, so everybody's going to assume the food is in from Friday night. It's Shabbos day that I see you take stuff out of your oven. You're cooking it. You say, no. I'm warming it up.
What?
How do I know that? How do I know that? You made an announcement? You have a sign? How do I know that? I don't know that. That's the problem. What? No, this doesn't matter. It's true. So I was thinking, the reason I said that is because there's a guy in Teaneck, and I'm sure this is not the only guy, but he uses on Shabbos because he's handicapped. He has to use one of those scooter things. So how is he allowed to use it on Shabbos? It's one of those Shabbos, you know, it's made by Rabbi Rosen and his institute. So how is that allowed? How is Somed allowed to? So you say, you assume, everybody knows nowadays. So he wants to be Machmir. He was told this by someone. I once asked him. And it says in the back, this is a Shabbos scooter. So anybody that sees this, it's not. So it works, it's a time delay. Not physically, he presses it and then 2 seconds later it goes, but when you press the button to move it, it's on a time delay. So generally the way Tzomet works is that it's a grumma. So I actually had a chance, unfortunately, well.
The Shabbos light,
no? Yeah, no, the Shabbos light is totally different because Rosen goes crazy on it. It's nothing like the Shabbos light. The Shabbos light was totally not allowed. There are Shabbos lights that have been invented in hospitals and things like that, which are amazing, amazing things. The basic whole premise is that you lessen the Isurim on Shabbos if it's Grumma, and obviously there's a Tzurich, here there's some Tzurich Chola. So that's possible. So I was saying, I actually use a Shabbos phone for doctors and things like that. So basically when you dial, so it's a delayed response. But it's not delayed enough that it's actually going to matter. So there was once a guy in shul, and he fainted. He fell off a chair and he fainted on the floor. So it's always interesting to see the responses of people. Most people's responses was just, oh my God, oh my God. And my first response, surprisingly, was, we need to call for help, Lassie. So I ran into the shul office, and right there I saw the Abba's phone, and I picked it up, and you press 911, and it just, there was a little bit of a delay on it. And I don't know why, but I remember just hanging it up. And I said, I don't have time for this. And I dialed 911 from the regular phone because it just was too much. I don't know, maybe I didn't know how to use it, but it wasn't going through that second. Maybe it wasn't even plugged in, I don't know. But I know many doctors in this shul use it. Anyway, I called 911, Baruch Hashem. And the guy's alive today because of my call. And no, that's actually not true. Actually, afterwards, surprisingly, some of the people in the shul were screaming at me, why'd you call 911? We don't need ambulances in the shul. I'm like, because it turned out, Baruch Hashem, the guy was fine. He had a inconsistent heart rate, which made him faint. But I don't know why they didn't want me to call. It made no sense. But anyway.
They didn't like the guy?
Yeah, it was a weird thing. In any case, back to our issue. So when it comes to these grumma things, so that you can't use on Shabbos Stam, so that has to be a reason for it. So of course here we have a reason. And the reason is quite simple, and that is that, for Chola, this, that. So if this was for, if you were talking about a hospital, things like that, but here we don't have that. And you're correct in your assumption, you know, Nirukim Mevasho is something that is speculative. The question is, how far do we go? You know, yesterday I had to stop and go to the bathroom. So they don't have a lot of stops on 17, so you can just get off. And you look around and you see there's only a McDonald's. So now am I allowed to get off the McDonald's? Is that considered to be Maris? It's the same thing. We're talking about Maris Ayin here. Oh, come on. Everybody knows that when I walk into the McDonald's or the Burger King, whatever it is, everybody knows that if a Jewish guy is walking in, you know, I actually once had this where we were driving, and we were driving to Baltimore, and we stopped at one of these pit stop areas. And as we're getting out, my kids point out to me, they go, look in the Burger King. And I see a Hasidic family eating in Burger King. I never saw that before in my life. Talk about Maris Ayin. And then when I look closely, they had a big, what do you call it? Tablecloth out, and they were eating challah sandwiches, you know, little sandwiches. But it was in Burger King, so it did not look very, very good. Okay, so I just had to be a little smart in law. So that's what Nirukim Mevashel is, because no one could argue that this is Nirukim Mevashel. What about Kufa Ketuma? So Kufa Ketuma is just talking about changing the knobs. So some of them do have knobs, some of them have hidden knobs. So let's discuss it. Let's start. So we're going to start with the following. There is a, I have no idea, I mean I do have an idea, I'm sorry. The CRC puts out a community bulletin, I think it's called Srifim. And in that publication, November 2007, surprising how I have this item, they have exactly when the warming drawer is becoming very popular, they say the following thing. And this, I want to start with this paragraph because I think it's very important to codify something that makes a lot of sense. One way in which we fulfill the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos is through the enjoyment and consuming Shabbos food. The challenge is to figure out how to do that, right? So the most common method is to serve cholent on Shabbos, which is, we know what that is, fine. And that's done with a blech before Shabbos. What about other food? So the question now is what a person is allowed to do. So he quotes our machlokas that we already spoke out. There would be two major reasons why something would be usher, right? And one, of course, is mechzer kemevashel. I said nira, but mechzer kemevashel. And shema yichata begecholim, meaning that one might come to stoke the coal, to increase the flame, things of that nature. And the other, that you're cooking the food, people think that it's being cooked on Shabbos, and they will make a mistake based on that. So, the warming drawer. The simplest model constructed today have one setting, and that setting is not a hot enough temperature to cook food. Putting food in such a warmer doesn't give the appearance of cooking because it can't possibly get hot enough to be cooked. And there's no concern about yichata because it doesn't have an adjustable flame or thermostat. What is more sophisticated is the warmers today that have multiple settings, high, low, medium, the chulo. And at the highest temperature, they go well over 200 degrees, which theoretically is used to slow cook something. So when we make our cholent on Shabbos morning, when we make our cholent on Friday morning, I was thinking about the guy in my office, when we make our cholent on Friday morning, so we put it on slow because we want to eat it the next day, we put it on slow, which is 200, so it does cook. So they quote the great Gadol Rav Schwartz, Rav Gedalia Schwartz, who has taken the position that such warmers may be used if they fulfill the following things. Number one, they are set at a low temperature, which cannot be cooked, and B, the knob of the adjustable temperature is removed or covered. Under these conditions, chazar would be allowed, no concern that you'll adjust the temperature, and anyone looking on will understand the full picture that this can't possibly cook. It's worthwhile noting that the above distinction is limited to cases where the food is completely cooked and contains no liquid. So here we have Rav Gedalia Schwartz mattering it. Source number two is that of Rav Willig. Rav Willig has a new sefer, if you will. It's really from the institute that produced these svarim. They did one in Nida for Rabbi Savlovsky and now one for Rabbi Willig. I believe Rabbi Feldman is the one who edits these wonderful svarim. So here I will quote to you what Rabbi Willig says in the sefer. A warming drawer is used to reheat and not cook food. Its temperature is adjustable. So can you use it on Shabbos? So I'm just reading it. This does not have the appearance of cooking. It's not near kimavasho, Mexican mavasho. And on the other hand, there's no stoking the coals. So this is really interesting. And then listen carefully, because I really should have given out this copy to you, but I'm a mean person. The Rishonim argue that with the Ran and the Rashba, who prohibit returning food onto an uncovered fire lest you stoke the coals on Shabbos. The Bala Maor, the Tosvos, and what he calls many times the so-called Ran, I'll explain to you why in a moment, says the Ran explains that inside an oven is treated more stringently because it looks like cooking, right? We said to you before. It is not treated more stringently regarding the concern that one may stoke the coal because it's an oven. Similarly, not the so-called, but the real Ran, in his aforementioned defense of the Bala Maor, equates the inside of an oven with respect to leaving food there on Friday. The concern, Shema Yichata B'Gecholim. We are not concerned with stoking the coals, as we derive from the Ran, and the real Ran, that it does not look like cooking. and a cover must be recognizable to remind the person that he should not adjust the flame. So there has to be something recognizable, either the taking of the knob off or the covering of the knob. That has to be done. And that, by the way, applies to all cases. If, in fact, you had an adjustable hot plate, which we didn't love last week, a person should, in fact, cover the knob. Hot, and when we discuss the crock pot, the same thing applies. A person should cover the knob. That's basically what the shita is. So the same thing would apply over here. Yoni. So, it is a matter of dispute whether merely covering the knob is sufficient. Rav Moshe Feinstein in his Igros Moshe or Chaim Aleph, Sima 93, says it's insufficient, and one must create a reminder, namely covering the fire. No fire over here. Others disagree and rule that covering the knobs, since it generally is the point of adjustment, is good enough. Generally, the Igros Moshe is accepted in this area. I will point out there is the view of Rav Aaron Cutler, which surprisingly, at least, in this case, is more makel and says that you just need a blech inside. Bitachos, placing food in a warming drawer does not look like cooking, since nobody cooks there. And therefore, if so, if there is a plaster cover or its equivalent on an adjustable knob, it's mutter. You can place cold, dry food in the warming drawer. Many pieces of tape should be placed in a way that there's no way it can be pulled off, and the person wouldn't bother undoing it. Again, just so we explain again, Shema Yichate, the Gecholim, is what's the issue with it? One second. So, according to this, Rabbi Willig says that the piece of tape should be strong enough. So I don't know. I'm not disagreeing with Willig, obviously, but I don't know if that's really necessary, right? What are we afraid of here? We're afraid of that a person. What's going to happen? You have a chush of a guest coming over, right? And your wife, not my wife, your wife, screwed up again. And now it's 12. It's almost 12 o'clock. It's 11:30, and the food is not cold. Is cold. Now what do you do? So guess what? You look at the knob and you say, it's Shabbos, Yeshkoyach. I need to put this on high because my guests are coming. But when you do the knob's cover, you go, oh, it's Shabbos. So your willing time is that maybe you're going to see it covered and you're still going to say, but I still have guests over. But then you're going to see it so covered, you're going to be like, oh, okay, I won't do it. I don't know. Anyway, Betachos, we've already seen two shitas, Rav Gedalia Schwartz and Rav Willick, who allow the use of the hot plate on, I'm sorry, the warming drawer on Shabbos. Why? Because they see it as not Nirukim Evashel, and I believe that both of them are speaking about even when the warming drawer is attached to the oven itself, although I heard personally from Rabbi Willig two important caveats. One, he does prefer the ones that are not attached to the oven itself, they're like in a side point. And number two, he said that you should put, I don't know why I didn't write it in here, a piece of tinfoil out of it so that it creates a form of a blech, so that everybody knows that this is something different, this is something unique, and not its normal thing. And for sure, nobody will even question that it's an oven. And most importantly, the temperature is not a Nirukim Evashel temperature. If you remember last week, we discussed, 2 weeks ago, we discussed the hot plate. So we said that Shlomo Zalman and Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa was bothered that he found out that Teimanim, that's why we have a guest, Rav Ron could tell us that that Teimanim used to cook on Shabbos their vegetables. Sorry, it's not on Shabbos. I'm sorry. Used to cook vegetables on top of a hot plate. Now it's not. It's mamish nirukim mevashal. It is mevashal. So others argue, say, what do we mean chayshish for that? Like forever? Like that? Some of you. So I told you this terrible story. I say terrible because for me it is that my friend, they were going to a tzimmer, I think I told this last week, it has to be, that they were going to a tzimmer, and they didn't trust the kashrus of the kosher kitchen that they were getting, so she said all she did was take up a hot plate, and she made schnitzel on top of the hot plate, she said. That's how hot it gets. So that's really true. So maybe Rishlomo Zalman was correct. I think the answer there is that it's not normally used for that. Some crazy guy wants to do it, not that the Tamanim are crazy. Some crazy person wants to go ahead and do it. We're not choshish for that. Fine. So, we've seen Rav Gedalia Schwartz. Next, Rabbi Belsky, Zechonu Livracha, is quoted in a number of places. One of them is a shiur that I heard on cooking on Shabbos, a hot topic, in minutes 6 to 8. Rav Belsky says that essentially it's permitted to use a warming drawer on Shabbos because it looks different than a normal cooking apparatus. And it only reaches 175 degrees. Surprisingly, though, he doesn't conclude that it's mutter, because he said it's very similar to other types of warming drawers which are actually are also on Shabbos. However, if the warming drawer is adjustable and it can go up to 275 degrees, so he says that for sure would be usher. So I'm not a bucky in the warming drawer. I've seen only few of them. I know the one that we had in our house, which was not really a warming drawer per se, it was on the bottom of the oven, had medium, high, and off, and no low. And the high was like a joke. It was, I don't know, maybe 100 and something degrees. So again, apparently there are ones like this. Along those lines, so now we saw that it's kind of funny, we see the psak of the OU, right? Rav Belsky, let's say. The CRC, Chicago Rabbinical Council. Maybe we could say Rabbi Willig, I don't know if he still used to represent the Chufke. I don't know if that's, you know. And now the Star K. So the Star K, on their website, starkey.org/forward/backslash/kashrus/kk/cooking/oven-shabbos.htm says one may not, if somebody actually looks that up, I apologize because I totally was wrong, one may not put food into a warming drawer on Shabbos. The term warming drawer is a misnomer. It's misleading consumers into thinking that they can warm their food up on Shabbos. So first of all, it's not true because the warming drawer was not created by Yankel from Brooklyn. It was created for other purposes. It's not a Jewish invention. As we said, all these things are not, they became popular because, you know, Jews found it a way. Right? The warming drawer and ovens were not created. The Sabbath mode was, but there were ovens before that. It's misleading people to thinking that they're warming up their food on Shabbos in a mutter way. A thermostat will sense the loss of heat and make up for the loss by turning the heat element back on. Similarly, when one opens an oven door, one directly causes the burner or electric element to turn on. This is called gram havara, and it's prohibited. So he claims, which I do believe is true in some shape or form, as what we said about the oven. That was the whole Sabbath mode thing. If a person opens a warming drawer, okay, you basically said to it, because we talked to our warming drawers, hey, I put it on a setting to stay at 150 degrees. Please stay at 150 degrees, no matter what happens in the world. If I open you, please stay at 150 degrees. So now what happens? You open it, and all of a sudden, the 150 degrees in that little box turns out to be 100, and now it's 75. And now, the warming drawer wants to follow your commands. So what does he say? Oh, my God, what do? I'm going to turn myself on and make it 175. So the process of opening, the reason why we said before, potentially at least, the refrigerator is a little bit different, is because the thermostat does not kick on right away. There is a delay. So you could actually open a refrigerator. Number one, you could open the refrigerator if you're really machmir, like some poskim say. You can only open it up when you hear the motor's on. So then the motor will never shut off. It won't shut off because it's going to keep working harder. Probably not electricity-wise, but it's going to work. Or you can open it up and take something out and close it. Usually won't go on. If you open it and say, what should I have? And you take a few minutes, it will actually go on. And there are poskim who say that that's a problem. I heard poskim say, no, it's secret, you don't care. It goes on when it goes on. So here, the Star K on their website doesn't like this. It's called Gram Havara, and it's prohibited. If one leaves food in a warming drawer or oven and wishes to open either of them one time to remove all the contents, that can be done. That's what caterers do in these big warming boxes, because normally one does not want the element of, he doesn't even care if it goes on or off anymore. He's not using it anymore. But if he leaves it there, it can't be open because it's going to go back on. If accidentally you opened up the warming drawer to take out the food contents and realize, the guests aren't coming for an hour, sorry, according to the Star K website, you have now have to take the food out and you're going to have cold food. And this is the same thing that one of the rabbis also at the Star K, Rabbi Mushel, writes, that if the warm air reaches above 120 degrees, you cannot place food there on Shabbos. He writes that only food may be left there from before Shabbos under the conditions, and therefore, as I said, the Star K website says that this is a problem. But wait, there's more. There's a wonderful website called dinonline.org/2010/12/31/placing-food-on. Okay, anyway, so there they say the food that is solidly cooked and the apparatus, that it's not possible to use it for cooking, and this is interesting, in parentheses, in an effective manner, then some, Rav Moshe Feinstein, permit heating using on Shabbos. Rav Moshe has a beautiful tshuva on this. He didn't have warming drawers, I don't think, in his day. But he talks about all these different types of warming things. We already pointed out last week that Rav Moshe was, I won't say the word fan, but he said that you could use the hot plate on Shabbos, where Rav Shlomo Zalman maybe had a problem with it. And seemingly, Din Online thinks that this would be similar, as long as it's fully cooked and solid. However, the knob has to be covered. And he thought that this is based on not just Rav Moshe, this is what the Beis Yosef, Shulchan Aruch, Or HaChaim, and the Bir Halacha says. According to Rav Moshe, there is no prohibition in placing food, even cold food, on an apparatus that cannot be used for cooking, yet prohibits doing so when there are more than one setting. However, many posts can follow the leniency of Shemir Shabbos Gilchasa 125, that many are stringent to the common hot place today, lechachila, and it's preferable to at least have some sort of inverted pot, as we explained to you last week, on top of the hot plate to avoid a nerukim mevashal. Because that for sure, even the teimanim would come to the hot plate and say, what you doing? And that would be okay. The yeshiva.org.il, the Beit El site, was asked this question. And they said they think that it's a similar halachas to a refrigerator on Shabbos. There are poskim who allow to open a refrigerator on Shabbos only when the motor is running. Thereby, opening the refrigerator will increase the temperature if the motor is not on, and it will cause it to start. There are other poskim who allow this, whereby the fridge is not going to warm up right away. It seems that these two rules would apply in the case of the warming drawer, and a person accordingly could be lenient if he uses a refrigerator on Shabbos. However, I found something funny. This is question, they have number, it's not the actual number, but this is question 5149. Question 1325 says the following. Obviously, yeshiva.org.il has different people answering the questions. If you're going to do that, please be consistent in your answers. There are poskim who permit placing food that is dry on a plata on Shabbos because it is never used for cooking. And his very name, plata, and use only on Shabbos to negate the reason of the possible Isser of Nir Mikravasel, and he bases this on the Shut Yechavadat. The warming drawer is used also during the week, not only for warming. This means that even though there is no problem of Nir Mikravasel, there is a problem and a risk of somebody without thinking adjusting the heating temperature as he does all week. Therefore, you have to remove the rab, adjust it with tape. Again, they give two different answers. One is the refrigerator answer, one is this answer. Okay, fine. Finally, contemporary authorities debate this. So I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that Rabbi Jachter has a whole section on Bishel. And there he says, the reason why a person can be mako is that people do not cook with these type of items on Shabbos. Similarly, it's a similar to the Kedera, but the Kedera method, and therefore we'd see that Rav Moshe would have allowed this. We saw that Rabbi Willig allows it as well, whereas probably Shmir Shabbat Kachasa would probably say that this is a problem because it could be used for cooking. I don't like the second to last reason that we quoted, honestly, because it is a strange reason to go ahead and say that you can't use it because people use it during the week. Right? Let's just say, for argument's sake, it happened to be that the house that we bought, the one that was next to our Chashuvah guest today, So the lady told us, I think I said this last week, she told us, you're lucky, you can use the oven right away. For kosher reasons, I only used it twice, for Thanksgiving and for Christmas. So it doesn't matter if you use it for 4 seconds, it can't be used. And then she said that she spent more money to use the warming drawer on the bottom. And she said, that I used all the time. What? So instead of, I guess, a microwave, she didn't understand what a microwave, they didn't have a microwave in the house, she would put her food in the warming drawer, and she would wait, you know, 6 hours until it was hot. Okay, whatever. So, are we going to say that's a raya, that you can't use it on Shabbos? So I say, no, that's not a raya. It's exactly what she said. She wouldn't put a, she wasn't putting a chicken in there from the refrigerator, and, you know, that wasn't cooked yet, or from the freezer, and trying to see if it would cook. By the way, it's possible, I'm just making, possibly after 24 hours it actually would cook. I don't know. That's not the point. It doesn't matter. Again, the two things that we're trying to avoid here, seemingly the warming drawer would help out with. Okay? You want to tie it to me that the ones that attach to the ozhen, it looks like mavasha. I don't know. You know, you could tie into that. People are smart nowadays. They understand what's going on. That's number one, I think. Certainly, if it's not attached. Somebody brought up a point which I never thought of and I didn't see in any of the contemporary literature, which is interesting. And they said, why isn't it hatmana? What's hatmana? Hatmana is insulating, right? The case, if we do it next week, Yemirtz Hashem, but we certainly will do it, will be with the crockpots. The famous last tshuva of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, where he thought that there was a problem because the way that a hot, so the way, sorry, that a crockpot works, right, is that it has that cylinder and outside there's a lip around the crockpot. Right? The bowl part. And around that, you basically have trapped the heat so to keep it evenly cooked all Shabbos. So Rav Shlomo Zalman was very concerned about that. And he said, you have to lift it up a bit. I think we spoke about that as well. So here, you have this box, basically, a drawer that's fully heated. You close it, and it remains fully heated all the time. Meaning it's by you closing it, you basically have created a hatmana machine. So I think that this is intellectually not correct. Why? Because the way, this is an important point, the way that ovens are created nowadays is there are safety features, which we never had before. So one of the safety features on ovens is that it shuts off when you open it. Safety features. I don't know legally, there's some way obviously that the Shabbos mode can work, that it's legal, that when you open it up, a kid, you know, can stick his head in and still get burnt. But I don't know why that's okay, but that's a safety feature. So too, there's a safety feature, I assume, in all warming drawers, that obviously it has to escape from somewhere. Even though you don't see it escaping, obviously the heat has to be going some sort of way out. So I don't think that that's called hatmana, because it has to escape by means of safety and the fact that your house would burn down if you had this hot box that just stayed hot. That's what I would think. And I don't think that that's called hatmana. One could also argue that it's not hatmana because it's a large space and you're not, it's not one small food. You know, it's not like you're putting something in and you're trapping it. There's no trapping here. You have other questions of hatmana by other types of things. But generally, as long as you leave it a little bit open, it probably wouldn't be a problem. So again, I know that contemporary poskim do debate this topic, and I think that the normative non-modern Orthodox shita is definitely that it's aser. You know, Chadash is aser min haTorah, so it has to be aser. But seemingly, I don't understand why in the modern day kitchen that wouldn't be. And this actually came up. A family member of mine asked me, they said, we're building a new kitchen. What's the best thing to use now that we're building it? So we asered the Shabbos mode because I told her that it's aser for Shabbos day. So now the next thing is, they knew, you know, these people happen to be somebody that lives in Teaneck. They're quite aware of what Jews are using. They said, oh, how about use this method, the warming drawer? So Rabbi Willig for sure allows it. Rabbi Belsky allowed it. Rabbi Schwartz allows it. So I think that that seemingly is enough information for us to say. You know, it's interesting if one could taina, I think this is a bad thing to say, but you can taina that it depends on the community. Meaning what? It could be that a Hasidish guy is in my house, knowingly already that I probably cook on Shabbos because of the way that I look, and he sees this item that looks like an oven. So yeah, it could be that he says he doesn't know what it is. Whereas more modern people know what warming drawer. We know. We're hip. We're with the times.
What's the lesson there?
So. No, there's an important lesson there. The important lesson that would be a Ravaran Salvagic lesson, which would be go out and see what's going on in the world. How can you, Ravaran used to say that if you don't have a secular education, there are so many Gemaras you can't understand. He says, you don't understand why somebody wouldn't have a secular education. Torah Mada. He says, you don't understand. So same thing over here. Can you imagine, I'm giving you a shiur now, you live in Williamsburg, and we're talking about the same, and then you come up to me after the shiur, goes, this is a beautiful shiur, but what is a warming drawer? What is it? I don't know what it's in. It's like you just listened to an hour of a shiur, you just wasted your time, you don't know what it is. So we have to know what these inventions are. This is, by the way, a beautiful thing. Just a last point. just as a hashkafa point, that some of the greatest gedolim did amazing research. They tell about Rosh Shlomo Zalman, you know, before he wrote his famous sefer on electricity when he was a little boy, you know, at 17. So, but he researched every prat, and when there would be something new, he would go out, since Eliezer as well, would go into the hospital to make sure, what is this, Rosh Shlomo Weiss, all these great gedolim, you can't just pop, you don't know what it is. So they would mamish go out and see, that is, you know, the way that life has to be. Is that if you want to be a posek, so this is part of your job. You got to check. You got to see what exactly is it. What exactly? How does it work? How to not just make an assumption. It's like a nirgavash shkoyach zasser. It's easy to say something zasser, but once we research it, so I think that this is a formidable way. If I were to give you again majority, so the majority of people so far still vote number one still goes for I think the warming, the hot plate. That's what I would say. Okay.